You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
SBS.
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 SBS Radio.
So we have to tell all of our listeners that we are in Euroa. It's a country town about 150 kilometres away from Melbourne. And we are in the house of lovely Zelma Collier, who has a story to tell. As far as Euroa goes, all we know is that in the late 19th century, Ned Kelly robbed a bank over here. So that's the reason why it's famous. And the other thing is that the well-known cricketer Merv Hughes was born here. But I reckon there is another wonderful reason that people should know Euroa for: the Indian hawkers that lived here. And Zelma is going to tell us more about it. Zelma, thank you so much for telling us your story on SBS.
Oh, thank you. It's very interesting to remember all the days of the Indian hawkers and their wagons and wares, and how people always waited and anticipated the times that they would be back around town.
So you have lovely memories, especially of a certain hawker called Poona Singh.
That's
true. Or Poonu Singh. And you were all of 7 or 8 years old when something happened in your town not so far away from your home. Tell us the whole story.
Well, Mr. Poonu Singh, or Poona, as he was referred to in Euroa, he resided at the blacksmith shop in Kirkland Avenue, where Burton's car park is today. And my dad was a blacksmith, farrier and wheelwright, and helped Bingy Constable, the owner, repair wagons and attend to the horses' feet. And Poona must have liked place, because he ended up living in the back of the blacksmith shop, and he had a little fire that for warmth and comfort and cooking, and was a great spot for the kids to stop in after school and get some Johnny cakes that he'd cooked. And he was quite a happy man. Apparently when he went out, he loved going to the billiard room and watch the men play pool. And Mr. Nays Mimas was a young fellow at the time, and he used to spend a lot of time talking to Poona. And Poona used to predict, "You live long life," and he certainly did. He passed away not so long back at the age of 100. And when Poona became ill, he was taken to Marupna Hospital and passed away on January the 7th, 1940. And Mr. Bingy Constable, my dad, and Pod Sheargold went over to Marupna to collect Poona's remains in a coffin that had been made by Bingy Constable at the blacksmith shop.
Okay.
And they brought him back there, and he was there for a couple of days while the funeral pyre was built at the Brick Hill Gully, which is just around the corner from here. And one would never know these days, because it's naked now, everything is gone.
Yeah.
But lots of memories will always linger on about that day.
So tell me more about this funeral that took place. So, and you're saying it's literally a stone's throw from your house, from where we're sitting right now.
Yes.
How old were you? What did you see?
I would have been nearly 8. Because I was born in 1932.
Yes.
But we had a lot to do with the Indians when they would come to the shop and often to the house looking for Bingy Constable.
Okay.
So it stayed in bright memories in my mind.
So where did the wood come from? How was the pyre made? Who came for the cremation? Tell us more about it.
Well, my girlfriend and I came home from school at lunchtime, and we were told not to go to the back gate. Well, curiosity killed the cat. We went, and we saw all the preparations going on for the funeral pyre. The wood, I thought Mr. George Harrison had got, but talking to his son, he thinks that it was supplied by the kiln people, and it was originally possibly wood from Kelvin View, which is out of Euroa. I think it was made to special specifications. The butter was difficult to get because coupons were required at the time, And maybe it came from the butter factory, I'm not sure.
So we're talking about the Grill War that was underway, and you had war coupons.
Yes.
Right.
The day of the cremation was in the afternoon of, I think it was about the 11th, I'm not sure, a couple of days after he died. His remains had remained in the blacksmith shop until then. And Nays Mimas drove Bingy's car with the body on board from the blacksmith shop to the brick kiln where the funeral pyre of logs and butter had been built. A crowd, including a representative of the local police, had gathered to witness the spectacle. Bingy Constable, assisted by Mr. Gordon Pod Sheargold, carried out the necessary formalities. Lala Ranji, a fellow countryman, conducted the rites at the ceremony. Ranji, as he was usually known, operated a drapery shop in Euroa, just around the corner, the side of the overpass in Anderson Street.
So you remember Poona Singh, and you remember eating Johnny Cakes with him.
Yes.
He used to laugh and talk with you, as far as I understand.
Yes.
So this must have been so unusual that there was a cremation taking place literally just 100 metres away from where you live. Who came for the funeral?
Well, I'm not sure who actually came.
Were there any other Indian hawkers?
I think there was a couple, but I think they were representatives from some other town. I don't know that they were hawkers.
Okay. You were mentioning you probably saw someone in a turban. Describe that.
Oh, there was someone from Wangaratta, and he had a pink turban, and I often stayed in my mind, I often wondered, was he a type of priest, or what was the reason for the pink turban, but I had never found out.
So did Poona Singh wear a turban at all?
Sometimes, but he was normally dressed when he went out. Apparently he wore a neat black suit, a tiny hat with a small brim, a black felt hat, very smart.
And he obviously had great connections with the community, and you say your father worked at the blacksmiths as well. And so how did he get along with the people of Euroa?
Well, the ones that came to the shop to have their horses' feet done and shod, etc., and around the anvil, he loved talking to them all, and they all liked the conversations they had with him.
So did he have a hawker's wagon? What else did he have in his
room? There was a wagon at the back of the shop, but I don't know whether he actually ended up sleeping in that or whether he used to sleep inside on the cold nights.
So I know you were only little at that time. Describe that little room where Poona Singh lived, where you went and shared eatables with him.
It wasn't a little room. It was the blacksmith shop was quite a big building, and at the back, it was quite an open, big area, which I think would have been very cold, especially in the winter, and hot in the summer, with the forge going. But Poona was there. It wasn't even a small room. He was just there, part of the place.
Right. Now, tell me more about Poona's ghost and the story that goes with it.
Well, the funeral pyre was built right on the course of the local boys' billy cart track. And George Harrison remembers that, spooked by the thought of Poona's ghost, the boys never ever used the billy cart track again. The Railway Street youngsters and the Nelson Street kids played under the streetlights. But as darkness fell, we wondered, were the flickering lights Poona's ghost or reflections in the night? And everyone would disperse and go to their respective homes.
So the kids definitely thought Poona's ghost was there somewhere.
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Because it was a very eerie feeling to know that for a child that something like that had happened.
Yes. What happened to Poona's ashes?
Well, the next morning, my father was supposed to go across. Oh, through the night he went and stoked the fire, but the next morning he was supposed to go across and help Ranji collect ashes to go back to India. But when he got there, everything was swept clean. No Ranji, no ashes. So to this day, we all wondered whether his ashes went back to India or whether they were swept into the clay or the murky waters nearby. We still don't know.
Do you know that the Indian hawkers back then generally would have wished for their ashes to have gone back to India, to the River Ganges? Was that communicated?
Yes. Well, only to the family group,
yes.
and the ones involved. Naturally, it was quite a mystery,
yeah,
as to where the ashes were.
Mm. But you knew the ashes should have gone,
yes,
to India?
Yes, that would have been Poona's wish.
Is there any will? Is there any estate that Poona owned which was distributed later?
I wouldn't know. Lala Ranji possibly would have known all of that.
Yeah. And Poona had a cart, you mentioned. We don't know what happened.
No.
Go on, what about other Indian hawkers? You spoke about Lala Ranji.
Yes, well...
Do you have memories of him?
I do. Lala Ranji always wore a turban swathed around his head, and he was a surly type of a man at times. His menswear, the hard work trousers and the old time flannels that the men of that era used to wear, were often sought after, and he was reputed to have the best quality of these, but he was very matter of fact. He didn't care whether you bought something or you didn't. Okay. You either did or you didn't. The children were a little bit apprehensive of Ranji, possibly, maybe, it's the way he would look sometimes, but he was, I think he might have been blind in one eye, and that may have been the reason.
So as a young girl at that time, what is your memory of what Poona's demeanour was? Was he a happy man? How did he speak to you? How did he come across?
He was well liked by everyone that knew him, and he was especially, you know, tolerant of children. Yeah.
And he played with you?
Well, he talked and made Johnny cakes, and and sometimes he boiled the billy on the stove, and we would have a cup of tea with sugar, black tea.
Yes.
Yes.
Did you ever enter his cart? Did you see what was inside?
No, that was out back.
So he had stopped going from town to town because hawkers normally travelled a lot.
He retired. He'd had retired.
And he retired and
retired there.
He called Eurowa home after, yes, his retirement.
Yes.
Yeah. So it seems quite interesting, Zelma, that 80 years on, Poona seems to be living here still. At least his,
yes,
ghost is being talked about.
Well, all the area of the Brick Hill Gully now has been all cleared, and it's under bitumen, and possibly what may have been left of Poona may be under the bitumen.
So do you get a sense that Poona is still here? This is where he last lived?
Yes, when you drive past, I often think, you know, where is he today?
but how long did his fabled ghost continue to terrify the kids here?
Oh, well, we all grew up. But, it was just all in our minds and, I suppose, imagination. It was an eerie part of the world in those days. To look now against that era, there was all scrubby gum trees, bush. There were two large dams where they got the clay to make the bricks at the gully. And if you got stuck in that clay, it was practically impossible. You couldn't get out on your own. It was like quicksand. And thank goodness that's all gone and been filled in.
So you've mentioned two Indian hawkers very fondly, obviously Poona Singh and Lala Ranji.
Mm.
Are there any others you remember? Did they come here often? Did they just pass by?
Some of them regularly came on a regular basis, apparently, over the years. But I didn't know them.
Mm.
They were travelling ones.
Right. Yeah. And they would just bring goods?
Yes. Mainly pots and pans and enamel mugs and some clothing and towels, linen.
Do you have any memories of anything your father might have said about Poona? Because your father worked at the foundry where Poona was also living. Are there any memories that come to mind?
Only that how everyone found that he was such a well-respected person. Mm. And I think they enjoyed having a chat to him, mainly possibly about his customs.
Yeah. And you mentioned him being at the billiards room where all the men hung around.
Ah, that was the place for all the young blokes in those days. And he apparently spent hours there.
Okay. Mm. And he looked at people's hands and predicted their future.
Well, I don't know of anyone else, but the one he did predict was correct.
So this is the house that you lived in,
grew
up in.
Yes.
And this is the back gate you were talking about, is it?
Well, it may not be the exact same tin, but it's the gate.
That is.
And we looked across and we could see action going on and wondered what it was. And then when we came home from school, apparently the fire had been just lit.
Oh.
And it was a very hot day. And then by probably about 7 o'clock at night, the stench was shocking.
So you could smell it?
It was smell. And old Mr. Gall quoted, he had never smelt anything like it in his long life.
Hmm.
Hmm. It's over here, that heap that's
just
over
that
there now. It'd be back this way a little bit,
so
the
that's
fire.
It. And had Euroa seen anything like that before, do you think?
Apparently there had been a cremation, but I don't know anything about that many years before. And maybe because it was a watercourse, I don't know how it was allowable.
Mm.
There was complete scrub here, scrub and a large dam across that was a clay-bottomed dam, dangerous clay if you got stuck in it, and another dam up here where it's green.
All right.
But now everything is bitumen, and the Shire own this now, this land.
Okay. So literally we're looking at the place where Poona Singh...
We're looking across there, that way.
As a little 7 or 8 year old, you actually saw that happening here, cremation.
But we weren't allowed over there.
Yeah.
But we peeped.
And the last rites, who performed that?
Well, Lala Ranji conducted the ceremony, apparently.
Yeah.
So I guess he would have done the last rites and
and
all of that.
So do you think most of the town was here for the cremation?
No.
No.
No, it was a small gathering, apparently.
Okay. My God, history lives on, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it? You wouldn't know now exactly where Purnas was. It's over here. And the building, the old building, the kiln used to be here.
The brick kiln.
The brick kiln.
Yeah. So it's surprising that the cremation was allowed so close to homes.
Well, it is. People do not believe that it happened.
Yeah.
If I tell people, they think, oh, she's losing the plot. See.
Well, just tell them about Poona's ghost.
And there's a railway line there. That's the main Melbourne to Sydney line.
Yes.
Now, see here. Here was like the building and around this area, if I'm visualising rightly. There was a big dam here. Well, part of this was too. We used to come yabbying and get leeches and things here.
You used to actually catch yabby here?
Yeah, lots of yabbies and leeches.
Wow.
Over here is the watercourse.
Okay.
The oldies used to say it was allowable because of a watercourse, but I only heard that. I don't know whether that was true. See, it was all a mass of grass and trees and thick scrub.
Yeah.
Down in there, you can see. You can see this watercourse, and it apparently runs right through.
So, Zelma, what you described to me is embedded in your memory, even though you
yes.
were such a small child. It lives on with you, and you tell me that a lot of people who have passed on remember Poona Singh very well, but unfortunately, you say that part of land is just naked. There's nothing to remember him. So what would you like?
I don't know.
Yeah?
Maybe just something simple.
Yeah.
People passing by would know.
But do you feel any emotion when you go by there?
Well, I still think of Poona most times.
Yes. But she was saying that you feel sad, perhaps, that...
It's nothing.
There's nothing.
No.
So describe how you feel when you go there.
Well, it's empty now. It's an emptiness. It's really nothing to remember him by. The building has gone, the brick kiln's gone, the dams have gone. The ashes obviously have gone.
Yes. But his story remains and his memories remain.
Yes.
So what's the best way to commemorate it?
Well, it would be nice to have a little marker or a little plaque or some little thing. But where would they put it? They wouldn't know now.
Well, you can point out exactly where it
is. Where I think it was, yes.
Yes, yes. Mm. Puna was there.
Yes.
Yeah. SBS.
This is SBS Radio.
Enjoy more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.